Hello, I'm Stephanie Belcher.
And I'm Del Belcher, and welcome to...
The 100th episode! This is Two Peas in a Podcast. A relationship advice show from two people that like each other very, very much.
It is our centennial episode. Can you use that word for this sort of thing?
I have no clue.
Our centennial episode.
But it's 100, and that's a big deal.
In podcast years, that's like
2 years. Very old.
I feel that. I think when we set out for the podcast, we were like, let's do this podcast. And I never thought it would become just something that we just do. It's just part of our life now.
I was listening to This American Life, which was on the radio, but I listened to it as a podcast. And one of the shows, they did a podcast about a podcast.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Podcast.
It was very meta. So I'm thinking someday... our children's children's children, when the world is taken over by whatever, will come back and this will be archived. And then they will say, this was our family, and we will have this amazing record.
Oh, no. The only record that I have of my great-great-grandparents are like old clippings in boxes in other grandparents' basements. And our great-great-great-grandchildren are going to have like an internet chock full of our nonsense.
It'll be interesting. I wonder if... by then, I don't know what it'll be like by then. Will it be, I know face recognition software is pretty cool. Maybe it'll have, I don't know.
Maybe they'll be able to reanimate us or clone us or 3D print me.
A chip that gets implanted.
Mm.
I don't know.
Well, you know what? It is very interesting.
What?
Not only is this the 100th episode of our podcast, but it's the 34th birthday week of my life.
That's true.
It's my
happy
birthday.
Happy almost birthday, honey. Woo-hoo! Del's birthday is... tomorrow's the 17th. Monday is 18th. Wednesday.
And the day of release, it's tomorrow. So it's birthday eve on release day of the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, but... which also means spring is here. Spring has sprung, and it's so nice out, and it's my birthday week, and it's 100 episodes, so it's a big, big week. It's super fun. And there's one thing... I do not like about my...
sorry, I'm drinking water and I thought it would be quiet, but the straw definitely gave back on that one.
Stephanie loves straws.
I do. And it makes drinking water fun.
And I love how you have like 15 plastic straws. It's the best.
I do.
Just
thank
for
you.
Different, yep. Every mood.
Mm-hmm.
Every mood gets a straw. But one thing I don't like about my birthday is I like that you give me presents.
I do get you presents.
I love gifts.
Gifts. Ardell's love language.
Gifts are my love language. What's not my love language is being mercilessly and mentally tortured the weeks leading up to my birthday.
You're welcome.
Via presents, which... so, Stephanie, how did this start? Because you do this thing where you'll get my gift. It'll come in the
mail.
I get
you good gifts, by the way.
You give me great gifts. I cannot complain. Every gift that you've given me, I use and I love, and it has made me a better person. And
they're awesome.
And they're awesome. But they'll come in a box... as they do. And then they'll sit in our living room.
A very visually present.
Visually present. And then they will be wrapped.
Yeah.
And then it will stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And don't touch it. Don't look at it. And it's just there every day. I have to walk past it.
One year I made a sign that said, cannot open till birthday. And I got you in a month ahead of time.
It just sits there for days and weeks. And there's this package downstairs that's been sitting there. And for 4 days, it was like, just a box. And then one day I come home and it's just wrapped, but it's in the exact same place. It's like it didn't even move. And it's just there and it's driving me crazy.
I also added to it because I bought more gifts anyway.
We were at TJ Maxx and Maxinista. And you were like, how can I buy this without you knowing? You said that to me. I'm like, we could just go through the line separately. And so we did. And then, you know, you came out and you were all like, hoo, 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 I got a secret. So I'm just... it's nutty.
I feel like
nutty.
It creates suspense for you. When you see it, you're just thinking about how exciting it is that it's almost your birthday.
And then you'll be like, you should open it. And I'll be like, okay, no, not till your birthday. But it is fun.
We also want to wish a happy birthday to Nancy, beloved mother-in-law, Adele's mom.
Saint Nancy.
Her birthday on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Happy birthday.
Yes. St. Patrick came to Earth to drive away the snakes so that you could be born. So thank you for being born.
That's what happened.
And for being the fount of advice for our advice. Mm. Without St. Nancy, there would not be a show.
Speaking of shows, this is Two Peas in a Podcast. It's a relationship advice show from two people that like each other very, very much. Typically, we have two very amazing segments. The first is usually P's and Q's. We're going to swap that out because it's our 100th episode.
We're going to do it differently.
And instead, we're going to bring you a recap and some fun little tidbits about the show. But then we're going to keep the split. Because I got a great article.
I feel that the split is kind of like I'm going to pull back the curtain here. Some insider secrets. Like the split was kind of that kind of concept was almost like the seed of why we were doing this show.
Del had wanted to do a relationship show with another guy friend, but it was kind of hard to match that up because a lot of our guy friends were just having kids. So finding the time was a challenge. And I had wanted to do a podcast called... I already had a title. I'm not going to say what I had called it because maybe
someday.
Save it for
later. TM.
Copyright.
Preemptively copyright net. Okay.
I wanted to do one talking about research, so we just merged the two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think
here
that
we are.
Without that research aspect of it, I don't know how much of a show we would have other than me just saying dumb stuff for an hour or two.
What if we only gave your advice and people took it?
This would be a bad world.
I think it would be the funnest, but I feel like we would get more questions back.
We probably would, because they got in trouble and now they need more help. But Stephanie.
Yes.
So for this little kind of two P's retrospective, as they call it in the biz, you had some favorites or some top things that you wanted to share with me.
I wanted to go through by views. So on the podcasting software we use, we can keep stats of a few different things. And one of the things it looks at is the top three episodes by views. Mm-hmm. So I thought we could go through what the top three were because I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
So rolling up at number three, this is Ryan Seacrest. Counting it down. Is it going to be Kelly Clarkson? Anyway, so number three was how to say sorry.
How to say... You know what? I'm kind of like surprised and not surprised.
Out of 99 episodes,
one.
Number three, wow. How to say sorry.
Okay. Why do you think that is so high up there?
I hope it's because people really want to know how to say they're sorry.
Mm-hmm. I do feel that saying sorry is an art.
Yeah.
It's an art and there's a lot that goes with it. I do feel like it's very appropriate. Like sometimes you find yourself in a bad spot. Like, what do? How do I say I'm sorry?
Or maybe it's because people have hurt them and they're trying to figure out, well, it's because they didn't say sorry.
Oh, yes. Okay. And then we set them straight.
Why do you think it's a top?
I think it's that same thing that, it's human nature. It's the human condition to feel in a relationship that you get hurt. Relationships are about sometimes you get hurt sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't say that as like a negative. It's just, it's kind of like when you are around people and talk to other people who are different than you, sometimes you offend each other, intentionally, unintentionally, whatever. And sometimes you get sad because your friends leave or you did something dumb or something. And I think saying you're sorry or learning how to apologize and empathize is a huge part of relationships. It's like the biggest part of some relationships. So I think
the biggest part. Okay. Having a healthy I feel like that needs a touch more of a qualifier, but yeah, I agree.
One of the Stephanie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I take it back.
Then coming up at number two, drum roll. How to deal with a narcissist. I can totally see why that was interesting to people.
Why do you think it was interesting?
I think being a narcissist, sociopath, psychopath, there's some key words in pop psychology that just draw me in.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a TV show on Netflix called the psychopath, the narcissists. Oh, I would watch every single one.
So we watched the Firefest.
Yeah. Documentaries. Oh, speaking of.
And that's just like, or, you know, like Love Island. Oh, or yes. Like any of the shows that we like watching are basically about narcissists, because it's so interesting to me. I think most people aren't narcissists.
I agree.
And I think the reason why this is so high up there is because you're only asking if you're a narcissist or not if you're not a narcissist.
Yeah.
I don't think a narcissist would ask that question. So to me, it's like people in my life are acting this way. How do I deal with it? Because it's so out of the norm from your everyday life. So I think that like to come in contact with a person who's like that, it just throws you off your game.
I can't remember if we talked about it on the episode, but the reason I had talked about that was because at work, I had a really horrific confrontation with a narcissist. And so then I started digging into narcissism a little bit more, and doing that episode was really helpful for me for understanding what to do when I encounter a person mm-hmm. like that and how to act and react. Mm-hmm. And now, having gone through that and doing the article on it, it was really helpful mm-hmm. for me.
Yeah, most people you and I talk to in a day are very like giving and caring. And then when you yeah. run into someone like this who's so like narcissistic, like actual legit, not like I'm just arrogant or full of myself, it's like you're not okay, whatever, but to someone who's like an actual legit narcissist, it's befuddling. It's just blow. It just messes with your brain.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But no, I remember that was a really good episode, and it was very helpful for me. And I think there are good reasons why it's up there.
And then coming in at number one,
I figured out the drum roll finally.
Okay, drum roll. Travel tips.
Travel.
That one seems a little out of left field.
It does seem out of left field. Yeah. However, if you've ever traveled with someone that you love, I feel that's when your raw-est personal state really comes into form, because you don't have the safety net of your home surroundings. You don't have the safety net of your familiar lifestyle. You're out there. You're tired. You're sweaty. You're doing stuff. And I think that's where you really get tested, especially in a relationship, especially early on.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if I ever told you this, but so the travel tips episode was about when we went to Italy mm-hmm. and then what we learned about relationships and traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And on there, we mentioned that we had maybe the biggest fight we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Top two. Someone asked me what we fought about. Did I ever tell you that?
I don't remember.
That's the same thing. And now in my mind, well, I think what we were fighting about, now that we have a kid, we've learned what we fought about. And it's because we didn't plan well.
Yes. I was thinking, so it's either because, one, you had fallen asleep and I ate all of our snacks. Two, I almost got us kidnapped by some shady taxi driver. Or three, probably one of the days we didn't plan well and we were just not on the same page.
I remember we came home from a very late dinner, and then in the morning we had to travel from wherever we were to another part of Italy. This is so... Our problem sounds so stupid.
A podcast. Well,
when we were traveling from one part of Italy to the... Well, we had to travel, and then we couldn't decide if we wanted to make a stop. As I'm saying this aloud, I sound like such
a... Do we want to stop at Pisa or not?
So we were fighting over when to leave, and it just turned into this awful thing. But from that, we learned when we have big days, we need to talk about it way more in advance and plan it out than we had been doing.
What's crazy about that instance is that we've totally forgot about that, but the waves of what we've learned, we still do that. Like when we don't plan the next day, especially if it's like a big day, like it's Saturday when we're recording, we like did our taxes, we had a bunch of stuff going on, and so last night we're like, when are we getting up, when are we getting the baby, when are we doing this thing, when are we going there, and we had it all together, and
the big stuff we needed
and
to get
today
done,
yeah. Went really, really well. It did. And then we ended up at Target.
Oh man.
And then just wandered around for like an hour. Because once everything was done, we were just like, yeah, now we were what done. Do we do?
So then we, anyway.
Target, it calls you and tells you what you need to buy. But yeah, so I feel like that episode has had an impact on me. And apparently, I think people like relationship travel tips.
So I wanted to talk about those top three, but then Del, you had something you wanted to go through for the podcast that you thought would be fun.
Well, yeah. Well, I think I'm going to do that in a second.
Yes.
First, some of the big episodes that I think were impactful for me.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like top, but I'm going through our list, and we've done a bunch, not a lot of different things, but every once in a while we'll do one about like masculinity or toxic masculinity and different things like that, and kind of this being a male man person in this world, like and there's a lot of expectations on like what heteronormative masculinity is, and a lot of it is not good, and being in a place that, you know, we can discuss that openly and talk about it, I think it's been really enlightening for me, and from some of the friends of ours and listeners have said that it's also been helpful and interesting for them to hear our perspective. I just think that out of all the stuff that we've talked about, like hearing what you have to say as a female woman and, you know, and then me and then our discussions about that have been really cool. And like those are episodes I'll go back and listen to, because I feel like they're very, you know, like everything else, but those have been really impactful to me. And I just remember those really a lot.
You know, I did some gender studies in college, and we talked about masculinity a lot, but I think the one thing I remembered was just, I'm forgetting the term exactly, but it was like this box of masculinity where the definition that men are allowed to live in is so small and mm-hmm. has such little breath that it feels really trapping mm-hmm. for a lot of men, because the second you step outside of it, you're met with so much criticism mm-hmm. and critique. So then you have to make this choice about living within these narrow confines or living outside of them, but dealing with the consequences. Mm-hmm. And no matter what choice you make, there's difficulty, because if you go outside of it, you could be ostracized and belittled. But if you live inside of it, but you're not really true to yourself, then you have to cope with that. Mm-hmm. And so I always had this really big level of, I don't know if it's empathy, pity, whatever it would be, to think of what it would be like to live in a world where the definitions are that small. Mm-hmm. That would have to be really hard.
You know, that is, it is as a male man person, it is difficult. It is very difficult.
As a female woman, girl, lady.
I will also say that we kind of like have a baseline of listens every week, you know, mm-hmm. but every once in a while there's a spike, and I was like, what are these spikes? And it's every time we have a title that has like sex in it.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's like, whoop, way up just for that little bit. Like, boom, like we have this one called Pizza Sex Christmas.
Oh, yeah. The Pizza Sex Christmas is pretty
tough. Like, boom, 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 normal, and then whoop, and then like one about porn and ice cream or something. I don't remember. But yeah, we had a lot of fun. So I wanted to go to, wherever you are listening, dear listener, we appreciate where you're listening. But I just want to say, I did not expect that we would have such a worldwide audience. We are basically a Pitbull man.
Oh.
Singer, Mr. Worldwide. Mr. Worldwide. But we're the podcast version.
I do love Pitbull.
Can I tell you the top 10
yes.
countries?
Yes.
Where people listen to us? So first of all, United States.
Okay.
And it's like, it's by a lot. The United States is
yeah.
very much the most. But then, United Kingdom.
Whoa.
Canada.
Whoa.
India.
Oh.
Senegal. Sweden.
Okay.
The Netherlands.
Interesting.
Mexico, Australia, and Turkey.
Interesting.
We are providing advice all around the world.
A few of those I could understand, because we have a few friends. I have a few friends in Sweden, Australia, the UK. Mm-hmm. I think there's one more that you said. Senegal, though.
Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. And then just a top 10 cities. Can I hit that really quick? Of the United States. Because again, like we are located in Michigan. And so we expect kind of a lot of our listens to come from our listening area. So number one is Jackson, Michigan. The kind of the area where we live. Way to represent.
Rose City.
But then number two, guess. Guess number two. The number two city of listeners?
I am not going to go. So these are tracked probably by their internet server. So I'm actually going to go with, where are the internet? Chicago.
No. Oh. Dallas, Texas.
What?
Then Ashburn, Virginia, Cincinnati, Ohio, Fort Worth, Texas, Brighton, Michigan. Go, Nancy. Austin, Texas. San Antonio, Texas. Portage, Michigan. Irving, Texas. There's either.
Texas. Either. Thank you, Texas.
Three things. One, Texas got to get their act together relationship-wise. Or they just really like our show. Or there's some like clickbait farms in Texas that we got to do something about, sending us false listens. But that's cool. I think that's really cool.
I think that's fantastic. Thank you.
Growing up as a big geography nerd, I was in a geography bee once.
How'd it go?
I did okay. I went and I was like, oh, this will be fun. And then I didn't realize that everyone else there had been like hardcore studying, like very serious about it. And I was like, I just like maps. I did not do very well, but it was a good experience. But since, thank you for going through that with me, Stephanie. I appreciate it.
Well, I think I wanted to say my favorite episode too.
Oh, I would love that. Tell me, Stephanie, your favorite episode.
So, you know, in moments in your life where you just speak and you're kind of off the cuff or going off a script or whatever, there's just different moments. But then every once in a while you have a moment where you kind of, I don't have this happen a lot, but I have a moment where you go out of your body, mm-hmm. and then you're just speaking at this level and you can't recall anything. Mm-hmm. But there was one episode where I feel like I went out of my body, and then when I went back and listened to it, I just cried. Mm-hmm. And it was Carly's birth story.
That is definitely one of my favorites.
And I'm really happy that we shared that and did that, because being able to go back to that, and I mean, I don't know if she's going to care about it when she's older, but if she does, I'm glad that we have that, mm-hmm. at least for our own record. So
that was very good. And we had a lot of response from that one as well. And it's like it was watching you speak. It was like you're this flow state of, like, you were just hit a groove and you, like, the universe was resonating at the frequency of Stephanie. It was flowing through my earbuds. It was great. It was beautiful.
If
this podcast goes on forever, that will be the episode that they say, this is what they were all about.
Oh, honey.
It's true.
I love you. It's true. That's so sweet.
And if you hadn't heard it, people out in podcast land, go check it out. Carly's birth story. I don't remember what number it is. It was last year, maybe like 40 episodes 50, ago. 40, 50,
between 40 and 60.
Yeah, in the 60 mark, I think.
Something.
But, you know, so thanks for hanging in with us for 100 episodes. And because we know you like what we do and how we throw down our specific style of podcasting, the main money of the show is definitely the split. And so we wanted to make sure that we kept that part in this very special episode. So, Stephanie, I said episode. So you know what that means?
Baloo, baloo, baloo. The split, where we take a relationship article torn from the headlines and talk about it.
All right, babe. What do you have for episode 100?
I figured it was a special episode. So nothing is more special than two peas in a podcast. The split. Mythbusters edition.
Ooh, are we real? Is this a podcast? No one knows.
Are we even real anyway?
Are we real? What is real?
So we also talked about birth stories. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's really popular when you talk about birth is the order in which people are born.
Oh yeah, birth. I'm the oldest, so I'm the smartest. Like that?
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Actually.
The youngest is the brattiest, who gets everything.
Have you seen that? It's kind of a different topic, but have you seen that thing where someone is, they do it about horoscopes, and mm-hmm. it's a joke that's like, oh, so you're a Leo, so you're vague and don't like order and really mythical. And then they're like, oh, yeah, 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 that's me. And they're like, congratulations, you're a Sagittarius. First of all, mean thing to do.
Yeah.
However, could work with birth order.
Really?
So I wanted to talk about this because everyone who's listening has been born.
Oh, halfway through a drink of water. Now I'm going to... Oh. Yeah, at time of recording, there aren't sentient robots or cloned people. But if you are a future listener and you are a cloned person who was 3D printed, welcome. This was before your time. We are a product of our time, and we mean no offense.
But I also thought this would be interesting because the next time you see one of those internet memes saying, I'm the oldest, so I'm better than you, and you're the youngest, you can reference this podcast.
And I was born in December, and I hate dumb people.
So according to, so I found this article on the Washington Post, and what it did is it was kind of a summary of all of the new research on birth order.
Oh, so there's been a lot of this.
Apparently.
Okay.
So there's these lines about children and their birth order, and kind of like what you said, they say that the firstborn children are mature, intellectual, responsible.
It's true.
And conformists.
Yes, very much. All of this. I do all everything you said. I do that. I conform to that. Yes.
Del is the oldest.
Uh-huh.
But younger siblings tend to work harder to get their parents' attention. They're the creative rebels. Ooh. And they take more risks.
And I could see, just only having a baby by herself, that one child getting all of your attention and then a second getting not as much. I could see, like, you would be like, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And I think that's why a lot of these things turn into why they spread is because, like, oh, yeah, it makes common sense.
So these ideas didn't just come from nowhere.
Okay.
What really popularized them was a book called Born to Rebel by Frank J. Soloway. And this was a pop psych book, and it talked about how birth order in your family shapes your adult personality.
You know, with songs like Born to Be Wild and whatnot, Born to Rebel, it's just like, dude, you missed the mark.
Born to
rebel. This doesn't sound as good. I'm still coughing from that.
So I'm going to talk about a few different studies. But the first one that I'm going to talk about was published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, and it was published last week.
Not like the Regional Academy of Sciences.
No. National. Okay. I don't know which national. Well, I do know which national based on the data, but...
America.
No.
Oh.
Not for this one.
Okay.
So this was a 3-part study. It's kind of interesting, but what they really wanted to look at was risk-taking in birth order and how, you know, whenever you were born, how does that impact the risks and are you a rabble-rouser?
Is that second child a rebel? Is the middle child the well-adjusted? Is that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So in this 3-part study, and you're going to love what they did for this study. So one of the things they recommend to do in different studies is triangulation, where if you really want to make sure your findings are, I hate this word, but robust, is you use different methodologies. So this one used 3.
I also hate that word robust.
I do too. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Strategy.
Strategy is a perfectly fine word.
I hate it.
I guess it depends on how it's being used.
So the first part of their study was they took biographical data of explorers and revolutionaries.
Hmm. Like your Christopher Columbuses, like your Napoleons.
A little bit newer. So Che Guevara. People like that. People who are...
Neil Armstrong.
Something like
that. Theodore Roosevelt.
And they have their biographies. And so from their biographies, they can get...
How old? Their age. When they were born?
Yeah.
Ah.
And then... By nature of the fact that they were explorers or revolutionaries, they're probably more likely to be taking risks, be more...
This sounds like really easy research. It's like, let's Google, did Franklin Roosevelt have siblings? Yes. He was born second. Check. Next person.
It makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That's great research.
So because it is easy, here's the second thing they did.
Okay.
They did a survey of 11,000 German households.
Oh, typical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the third part they did, this is the one I liked. I thought you'd like the first one.
Yeah, I do like that. I think I'm going to do that myself.
Thanks, Wikipedia. Yeah, I don't know why I split that so much.
Thanks, Wikipedia.
So then, thanks, Wikipedia.
Is okay, this episode inspired by all the frosting that we ate beforehand?
We did have a lot of frosting. Carly likes frosting, BT dubs. So then, the third thing they did is they did interviews and experiments with 1,500 people. And in that experiment, they used what they're calling an elaborate assessment that looked at risky behavior.
It's like a big mousetrap board game. They just like stand yeah. under here.
Kind of.
And just wait for a minute. And the green man will jump in this tub and let us know what happens.
So it's called the, I don't know if it's Basel or Basel. We just watched Gordon Ramsay, so my brain is fried.
Basel?
B-A-S-E-L, Berlin Risk Study. And it's 40 psychological tests in one day.
Wow.
And they did, in this study, they did research where they asked participants about their risk-taking behavior. And it's funny because they list what they have for risk-taking behavior is driving too fast, unprotected sex, which is driving, like unprotected sex. Oh, yeah. But then they listed some really extreme stuff. So there's a really interesting range that was included in here. But then the third thing they did with this group of people is they did a simple experiment to assess risk-taking. So they gave all of the subjects in the experiments two different options. You could either, okay, Delbert, tell me, would you rather receive $10 or would you rather gamble on a 10% chance to win $100?
Personally?
Yes.
I would take, it depends. It depends, but I think I'm just like, I got $10. I think that's fine.
Okay.
I'd take that.
So that is the safer choice. Mm-hmm. So if you took that, they were thinking you're less likely to engage in risk-taking behavior.
Which, I'm a first child. Boom. Confirmed. Not busted.
But if you pick the second one, you're obviously...
Not firstborn, and I have a mystery older sibling.
So in that three-part study, there's a breakdown of the results and whether they found that birth order contributed to risk-taking behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first study of explorers and adventurers, the results were that the birth order of almost 200 people who made the risky life decisions. The people in the study were people like Edmund Hillary and guerrilla fighter Che Guevara and social activist Rosa Luxemburg.
Mm-hmm.
They found that birth order had absolutely no correlation in their behavior and who they became.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
So what did that popular book say that made everyone think this all the time?
I don't know. We should read it.
Because the research... I like the triangulation because the first one is like, let's just Google these people. And the second one was, we're in Germany, I guess. Let's talk to all these people. And then the third one was this very, very extensive, like legit thing. And then they did all three and they were like, yeah, it doesn't really matter. So why does it seem to make sense?
Well, and so the second part, the survey, guess what they found?
What?
Nothing.
Nothing.
And then in the third survey, the risk-taking, the money stuff, guess what they found?
Nothing?
Nothing.
That's crazy.
Love it.
Love it.
So the article then went on to mention two other studies.
Okay.
And I'll just give a brief recap of those. But okay. The first one was by, I can't even do it. Even when I was reading it, I can't. Schmuckel. PhD, and I just can't even... My last name's Belcher.
That's... Okay, here's the thing. Before anyone gets on my case for making fun of a Schmuckel, when your last name is Belcher, you have the right to make fun of anybody else's last name. And Schmuckel is great.
Oh my gosh, I had a conference call with a guy who had a last name of Wiener last week. I started off with, like, hey, horrible last name club. Never even met the guy before, and he thought it was the greatest thing he'd ever heard.
the Wiener Belcher meeting?
He did. He's like, oh, Belcher. He's like, yeah, that's rough.
Wow. Schmuckel. I love it. I want to meet the Schmuckel.
So the Schmuckel study in 2015. So Schmuckel looked at the birth order for 20,000 people in the United States, Germany, and Great Britain. So different countries. Mm-hmm. And rather than looking at birth order and risk-taking behavior, Schmuckel looked at the big five personality traits, which are the ocean thing. Mm-hmm. So that's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism?
Probably.
I think so. So whether you're neurotic or not. And guess what Schmuckel found?
I bet Schmuckel could find anything if he wanted to.
Guess.
Are you schmuckling around here? He found nothing, probably. Nothing. Okay.
And then Rodica Damian, another study in 2015, did a study of 370,000 high school students and looked at a similar thing and whether birth order impacted the big five personality
nothing.
Traits.
She guess, found nothing.
Guess what they found?
Nothing.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
So what is the point?
But
why do we do this?
They did find one thing.
What? That the youngest gets away with murder and no one talks about it. Is that it?
Are you bitter?
No, I mean...
By the way, from my experience, that's true, but who knows if it's true. I mean, not really.
Hypothetically.
I'm not going to admit to it on air.
Okay, what did they find?
The one thing that does seem to be true, both Damien and...
Schmuckel.
Sorry. They found one thing.
Oh, let me guess. The youngest had an age that was lower than others.
Significantly lower than the older child. That's true.
Uh-huh.
The firstborn child does have a significant difference. They are more likely to have an IQ that is 1 or 2 points higher than their siblings.
Hell yeah! Boom! Got
Boom.
It.
Roasted.
Boom. Roasted. Got it.
And so they say that that's more likely because the first child gets more attention from their parents.
Yes! I did it. I did it. Thank you, parents.
Yeah.
For having me burst.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Stephanie, I'm just on a level you will not understand.
The thing is, we have different parents. So what if Ben's IQ or Jason's IQ is 185 or whatever? Mm-hmm. So, but yours, you're setting the benchmark. Yours might not even be that high. So theirs might be higher than mine, but that does not necessarily mean.
Listen, Stephanie. We've done the test. We know.
I love you.
I love you too, my little schmuckle.
You know what we should do for John?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. That is a story for another podcast.
Story for another podcast. This house is filled with ghosts. Stephanie, that was great. I wish for hundreds of more episodes with you. So, thanks for being my little podcast partner on this pod journey of ours.
It's been great. Thank you to everyone for listening and supporting us. Thank you for our guests who have been on here. Please keep trucking along.
Keep on trucking, because when you're listening to something in a truck, the best thing to do is listen to a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Truck, car, train. Plane, rollerblades. but yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back again next week, same time, same pod channel, here at Two Peas in a Podcast. Stephanie, is there anything else?
We hope that after listening to this podcast, you learn that you can schmuckle very, very, very much.